favored. This is the day the Lord has made, and we have a choice. Everyone has a choice. We have a choice to believe. We have a choice. Jesus said, just believe. Many people don't believe. They're always challenging God to prove himself. It ain't going to work. He's already done it on the cross. So what he's done on the cross has already been manifested for eternity, past, present, and future. If you'll just accept what he's done on the cross, he exchanged it all. And then submit to the plan. The plan of what? Escape. You know, I'm going to share a couple of things before we get started here. I know that in my spirit today, there's a newness. There's something going on. I'm excited. There's more of a freeness. Even though it seems chaotic out there, and there's more chaotic things going on, and maybe there's more chaotic things going into families, but there's more of a freedom to his children. And in this freedom, God is releasing those strategies. He's releasing more of his presence. He's releasing more of him. And he's exposing the things that are beginning, that are holding us, that are challenging us. He's exposing most of ourselves in all areas. Remember something very important. We do not fight flesh and blood. And that's what the enemy's great deception is. He convinces people to keep them in the physical reality and prevent them from entering the spiritual reality. That's a constant fight that you and I deal with every single day. In 1993, when I had my visitation from the Lord, I mean, I was a dead man. I was sick, dying, you know, addicted, getting ready to go back to prison and all kinds of stuff. But in my visitation from the Lord, the manifestation not only of his love and power and truth, and I had my dog with me when the Lord visited me. And after I'd come back from the other side, that's all I can explain it. Because I was taken. I was abducted. And I had no control over anything. And the next thing I know, I was just praying in this funny language. And God was speaking to me. I was speaking to him, but I wasn't speaking out of my mouth. I was speaking spirit to spirit. But after all of that, which was awesomely wonderful, and I sat up, because one of the things I said, Lord, if this is death, I want to be with you. If this is what it's like to be dead. And one of the things I realized is we have to desire that all the time to us. Lord, if I'm dead to myself, this is what I can be with you. Does everybody understand that? See, sometimes we don't get answers till 30 years later. Because or 15 years later or whatever. But I said, if this is death, I want it. This one, I want to be with you. And that's when I was released from the cloud of glory and the fire of God, and I sat up, and there he was in front of me. His presence was in front of me. And his presence spoke to me. Of course, one of the first things that was released was his Bible is true, because I never read the Bible. And the second reality and manifestation was my dog was barking. I mean, can you imagine your dog barking in the presence of God? But when I looked at what she was barking at this evil, large serpent, probably about 6 feet long, about 2 inches, 3 inches thick. And it was trying to bite her. But my dog's head was moving supernaturally back and forth. The serpent couldn't bite her, and she kept barking at it. And this thing was hissing. And I looked at her and said, what do I do? I mean, I've never experienced this. And the next thing I know, I put my hand towards this serpent. And I said, from the love of God, I curse you, Satan. Now, I would never say that. And this thing curled up and moved away from my dog. And I said to the Lord, man, this stuff only happens in Star Trek. He said, no, that came out of you. And that thing was still sitting in the corner, watching. But it couldn't move. When I left the presence of God that day, I didn't leave the presence of God. I don't want to say I took him with me. He took me with him, you know. And I began to realize the importance of praying in tongues to accessing the other side quickly and to bring a reality of the other side. The other thing that was so important to me was about the serpent. That serpent came out of me. And many people still have serpents, and they don't know it. We call them demons, but they're still serpents. And one of the things that they have eggs and they have venom. And I believe all sicknesses and diseases are associated with the venom of the serpent. Would you turn to Matthew 7? Hallelujah. And I had many other encounters with the serpent. In fact, one night in our worship services, an individual fell on the ground and began to move like a serpent. We had a woman one time that came in who was, she was on, in crutches or on a carrier or whatever. And after we got done worshiping, she was, next thing I know, she was in front of me. And she wanted me to pray for her, but every time I was laying hands on her to pray for her, she kept falling backwards. And my wife told me she had a cleft foot. It was rolled in. She couldn't stand. So I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the first, he said to me, cast that serpent out of her leg. When I commanded that serpent to leave her leg, boom, her foot came, popped out, and she ran around a church and I chased her. Because I was as blown away as she was. And the Lord began to remind me of all of the encounters I've had with serpents and how many times we've cast them out, how many times that they've manifested in the homes and we cleaned them out. My poor mother-in-law every once in a while would scream, wah! Snake in the house. I mean, they would manifest. Why? Because of God's fire exposes them. Exposes them. And what the enemy wants to do is get us into a lukewarm or cold position so that we don't carry the fire of God and the serpents still have free reign and access. Is everybody with me? In Matthew 7 and verse 13. Enter by what? The narrow gate, for wide is the gate. And broad is the way that leads to destruction. So it's easier to lead to destruction than it is the right way with God. Why? Because the enemy's always going to resist you. Does everybody get it? He's going to resist you. He's going to do everything he can to prevent you from doing what's right before God. And there are many who would go in by it because it's easier. Because narrow is the gate and what? Difficult is the way which leads to life. No one said it was like it would be easy. It's difficult. And there are a few who what? Find it. There are a few who make it. Beware of what? False prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Now, when God talks about a wolf, ravenous wolf, he talks about a beast that has been formed by interbreeding. A a DNA change. We're going to get to this. Verse 16. You will know them by their what? Their fruits. Do men gather grapes from their thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Everyone, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Now, he just warned us from the beginning, there are false prophets in sheep's clothing, right? So is he talking about trees that grow fruit? Or is he talking about spirits? Spirits. People. Entities. Verse 18, and God, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Nor can a bad tree bear what? Good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will what? You're going to know them. You're going to know the fruit of that tree. You're going to know the fruit of that spirit, to know the fruit of that person. You're going to know whether it's a false prophet, whether it's a demon, a devil, or dimensional entity. You're going to know them by their desires, their choices, and, of course, their character. Amen? You'll know them by that. You'll know what's going on with that. Now go to Genesis 3. Hallelujah. Genesis 3. So you're going to know yourself by your own fruit. Now, your fruits can change. Hello? Fruits can change by the things that we open ourselves to. Because every spirit represents a what? A fruit. It has its own character. It has its own desires. And verse 1, Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more what? Cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. In other words, we may partake. Now what were these trees? Most likely they're ministering angels from God. They were able to accept counsel from them. They were able to learn from them. Does everybody understand this? Anybody understand this? That's good. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Well, what was the tree that was in the midst of the garden? It was the serpent. He wasn't really a tree, was he? He's not just hanging from some tree, hanging out, swinging back and forth, and offering apples and, you know, whatever. That's not what it was about. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. So immediately, he called God a liar. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you will be like God, knowing good and evil. But he lied, because their eyes would be closed to him and all of his forces. That's why you can't see them, because of what happened in the garden. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, in other words, something that she could partake of, and a tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and partook or ate. When you eat something, what you speak is what you what? Eat. So she was eating what the serpent was saying to her. Do you understand this? Because the serpent was the tree. Was presenting himself as good and evil. But he wasn't the tree of life. Then the eye, and she gave to her husband. Well, anyways. So when the woman saw it was good and so forth, she also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. In other words, he partook. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were what? Naked. Everything changed. Were they really naked before? No, they were clothed with the glory of God. Nakedness had nothing to do with it. There was nothing about self. What had happened to them? Their DNA changed. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. They tried to cover themselves, didn't they? Of their shame. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden of the cool day. Why? Because they couldn't see him then anymore. They used to speak to him face to face. They used to speak to the angels face to face. Everything had been closed to them now. They no longer could see. And Adam and his wife then hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden, hiding behind the spirit, the angels, and they were hiding behind themselves beside the other beings that were there. Or they could be hiding themselves now behind the physical trees. Because now they couldn't see the angels. Then the Lord God called out to Adam and said, "Where are you?" Did God really not know where Adam was? No. So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked." He wasn't afraid because he was naked. He's afraid because of what he had partaken and approved of. See, if you approve of something, you partake of it. Hallelujah. So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden. I was naked. I hid myself." And the Lord said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you partake or eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat or partake?" Then a man said, "The woman whom you gave to me, she gave to me and I partook. She invited me and I allowed it." And the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I partook. I agreed." So the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go and you shall eat dust all the days of your life, and I will put enmity or hatred between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed." In other words, between your DNA and her DNA. "He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel." And to the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of or partake or approved of,' curse the ground for your sake, and in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorn and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. The sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of the living new DNA. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Now, the field was the world, the trees, spirits. The fruit is desire, choice, or character, or origin. These were angelic beings at that time. There was a tree of life, which was Jesus. The spirit in the midst of the garden was a serpent spirit. It was the tree. God warned them, "Do not partake, receive his words, agree, or let him touch you." Does everybody understand that? Hallelujah. So a seed now is an offspring of DNA. It's a source of origination, origin. The serpent altered the DNA. The DNA could not be purified, cleansed, until Jesus took DNA curse for us on the cross. That's why she's known as the mother of the living DNA, or the mother of the living curse. And of course, God put a flaming fire, right, so that no one could access a spirit of the tree of life anymore. Now, again, in this, God killed an animal blood. When you look in the spirit realm, there's no distance of time. So when God was doing these things, it wasn't just about present. He was restoring them because of what Jesus was going to do. In other words, what they did in the past, what they were doing in the present, what Jesus did in the future, it was all one moment for God. Somebody grab with this. It was all one moment. So when he clothed, when he killed an animal and put it on him, he was doing it so that they could be covered, so that they could be restored. But it could not be completed until Jesus paid the price for everyone and hung on the cross. Amen? So the animal, the blood, was to protect the future seed and cover the corrupt seed until Jesus. So in other words, God didn't have to look at the corrupt seed because it was still there. But it protected the righteous seed. Everything changed. DNA, everything changed now. Again, there's not a time, there's no distance in time for God. He sees past, present, and future all at one time. That's why sometimes people have a hard time interpreting the word. Well, it says this and this and this and this. Because they can't. In the spirit realm, you must interpret the word as God speaks it, not as man interprets it. So when the word is being released, it's not just for present. It was for past, present, and future. It's all at one time. Amen? I lose anybody? Praise God. So go to Genesis 6. Is it warm in here? Genesis chapter 6. Hallelujah. You know, one time I went to go pray for a woman that was dying in the hospital. And she was kind of like not really conscious of everything, in and out, in and out. And I really believe God was going to heal her. And she had cancer and all. It was spread through her whole body and everything. And I was a baby in Christ. And but I was radical. A little bit more radical than I am now. And when I went to go pray for her, this woman came in. And she had a staff with some things, charms on the end of the staff. I said, this girl don't look right to me. And she went over and touched her friend because she knew her. And when she touched her friend, the woman went, oh, and I thought, whoa. And the Lord said, guy, I want you to stand away. Fold your arms so you don't do anything stupid. And watch. And I did. And every time that woman touched her, I could see serpents biting her. And I said, don't you want me to do something about it? He said, no, I want you to watch. And so I watched. And he said to me, that woman's a cup of demons. And when he said that, I saw a cup of serpents out like this, just doing, biting. So all of a sudden, go, leave, go, I went home. Somebody called me and said that she had passed away. And they said this green glob came out of her mouth and came up on her chest. And the Lord revealed that to me today, what it was. Venom from the serpent. 30 years later. Venom from the serpent. People have no idea how many times they've been bit, and that venom is still in them. Think about pharmakia. Think about all the pharmaceutical drugs. I mean, how many times have you heard that they're putting venom? Didn't they put venom in the? Why? Because they know it's an accursed item. It's amazing the things that God is. This is just little things that God is revealing more and more and more. Why? Because he wants us. He wants victory in his children. And Genesis 6 verse 1. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply in the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God, which were the angels, saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and that they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. So what was their purpose? Change DNA, take over, produce their own offsprings. They wanted to be like God. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Again, there were giants before. Why? Because of Cain's birth. Why? Because Eve was impregnated by the serpent and produced Cain. Does everybody get it? Cain and Abel. Abel was known as the righteous one because he knew how to offer to God, and Cain did not. And from if you follow the lineage of Cain, it's all that's all serpent family. They're all giants, Nephilims, Democrats, all the way down the line. Hallelujah. In verse 5, and the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every intent of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil or continually, that was perverse. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and what? Beast. Now, these beasts were not the beasts of the animals. They were different. Creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why was God going to kill all the birds and the beasts? Why? Because these offsprings, these Nephilims, were perverts. They wanted to have sex with everything, including animals. Now, think about this, because they were trying to duplicate God's throne room and everything. I mean, what was in God's throne room? Four living creatures, right? But here on earth, they wanted to take over the earth and make it like their throne room here. You know, though, all of these things that you heard in the past, you know, Methuselah with all the serpents coming out of her, I mean, this is what they were producing. Half man, half animal. Those were real. They have found skulls of them, skeletons of them. But you won't see that promoted, because everything is kept secret from humanity of what the origination is and where the source is and what's ruling the earth right now. That's why they had giants 35 feet tall. They were there. And then when the angels came in, they produced more. But it all started from the tree of what they call good and evil. The serpent tree impregnated Eve. And that's how it started. DNA changed. the atmosphere changed. Everything changed. And the other 200 angels, according to the book of Enoch, came in and put on flesh, went into the women and produced offsprings. Except for, and Noah had three sons, and then the Lord killed them all, right? Well, then what happened to their spirits? After the Lord flooded the earth and then killed everything, even the beasts, they became disembodied spirits. So you have a DNA from a corrupt fallen angel with an animal. Or with a corrupt offspring of a Nephilim with an animal. And it produced all of these weird things. These, what they call beasts. That's why God said, I'm going to kill all the beasts. I'm going to kill everything. Why? Because they were all corrupt now. All their DNA was changed. Jude 1:5. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not follow or believe. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. What angels is he talking about? The ones that put on flesh came into the women. He has reserved an everlasting chains under the darkness for the judgment of the great day. Now look at this. As Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality, gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering and the vengeance of eternal fire. Why? Those were those spirits, those seeds, the serpents that came down. They went through. Why? Because one of Noah's sons married a Nephilim woman, Ham. Ham bone. Ham. Bonehead. Married a Nephilim woman. And if you follow the lineage of Ham, you'll find all of the serpent families again. Verse 8, likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a violent accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like beasts, hello, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them without eternity, for they have gone in the way of who? Cain. And have run greedily in the arrow of Balaam, for profit, and perish in the rebellion of Korah. Romans 1. There's a reason why God wants us to know about all this today again, or refresh us on some of those, so we don't lose sight of what's really happening. That's why the Word tells us that we're to clean things out. Amen? Hallelujah. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and what? Unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in righteousness. Is this what we're hearing today, being suppressed? You got it. That people don't know about this stuff. Because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to what? Uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. What? What was against nature? Men and women with animals. Women with women. Men with men. Do you know that they still do that today? They're satanic rituals. They still put together human beings with animals. Likewise, also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which is what? Due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also those who what? Approve of those who practice them. They're deserving of what? Death. They'll be judged the same way. Vile passions, except serpents with venom in human souls. Numbers 21. Numbers 21. My first Halloween as a Christian, I said, Lord, what would you like me to do? He said, I want you to dress up as Moses. I said, as Moses? You guys might have heard this already. I'm sure you probably have. And so I was looking for things to dress up as Moses. And he said, I want you to put all stuff out there that has scripture on it. So everything, I was giving juice cans away that had scriptures on it. Actually, it said repent because you're participating in something wicked. Anyways, I had bags of chips that had labels on it. It had all of these things that said repent. This is a satanic ritual day. Do not partake in it. So, one of my sisters in Christ came over. I said, you know anybody's got a staff? I need a staff for Moses. And she said, yeah. And so the person that had the staff was always struggling. And so she got me the staff. And it was a perfect staff for Moses' staff. It was nice and big. But on the bottom, about 2 feet of it was painted green. So I never knew what was underneath it. And so anyways, she gave me the staff. I left the staff. She left. I was working on the car or something. I walked by the staff, and in the spirit I saw it go, like move like a snake. I thought, man, is that my imagination? I was walking out the door. I said, I ain't taking no chances. I walked back, and I walked back by it again, and it did the same thing. And I said, I bound that spirit, and I command that serpent to leave that staff and go and leave my house. After I did it in the mighty name of Jesus, I went to open my front door and there was a snake right there. At my front door. I was freaked out because I thought it was my imagination. But it wasn't my imagination. That serpent came out of that staff and manifested itself and took off. I didn't get to kill it because I usually cut their heads off. And I hate snakes. Sorry, I don't care how pretty you think they are. People that have pet snakes are idiots. And in fact, one time I got an... So anyways, let me finish this story. So I'm storytelling today. So when my sister came over, she had told me about that there was a picture of a serpent underneath that green painting. I said, well, no wonder why it manifested. So Kate and I are babies in Christ, right? And we haven't seen a friend of ours in a while. And they found out Kate and I got back together. So we went to their house. And he's got this gigantic snake. And it's in an aquarium. And my wife being not knowing what was what yet. And she goes, oh, look at that. I love it. Let me see it. Can I pet it? And I'm thinking, oh, God, no. So I said, Lord, what do I do? He said, bind that snake. Bind that serpent and that snake. And I did. But we were protected by the anointing. So when my friend pulled it out, he went to go give it to Kate. Kate touched it, and this thing curled up like a solid ball. You could bounce it like a basketball. And he goes, he was freaking out. What did you do to my snake? What did you do to my snake? We didn't do anything to it. It was the anointing that froze it. So he took it from my wife, who put it back in the aquarium. Then he showed me the room. He's got a room, a bedroom, set just for the snake. He lets mice run free, and the snake eats them. So, anyways, a few hours later, I said, man, how's your snake? He said, still in the ball. Hasn't unleashed yet. It didn't happen until the next day. Again, these were things that God was manifesting to us, and we kept getting more blown away of everything that was going on because he wanted to make it so real to us. He wanted to make the other side so real, and that's what I'm telling you now. That's why I really believe God is refreshing us in some of this. He wants you to understand that the other side, look, at whatever you're struggling with, there's a demon there. There's something influencing you. Amen? I know there's works that are flesh and this, and but there's still something influencing you. There's an open door somewhere. And I still believe, listen, I really believe that there's a spiritual sickness. There's a spiritual sickness that causes a physical sickness. And when I really believe cancer is nothing but a venom that's been left in the body. I believe a lot of these sicknesses are from the venom of serpents. And especially addiction, pharmakia. That's what we're dealing with. Again, where did this originate from? The serpent. Amen? And then all the technology that Lucifer had, that he released to the fallen angels, and then all of these serpents. That's why their technology is so advanced compared to what we know. Things that we saw years and years ago that we thought it was fiction are real. Hallelujah. Okay, Numbers 21, verse 4. It said, then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. Boy, Moses had a tough time. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, no water, and our souls lost this worthless bread. In other words, they were tired of the heavenly food. Think about that. The communion. They were rebuking God for sending them the communion. They didn't want it no more. So the Lord sent what? The serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And many of the people of Israel died. God said, I'll teach you. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Hello. And we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, all right, go make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. In other words, when he focuses on it. Now, you got to remember something. What did I talk about? There's no time in the spirit. Who was this representing? Jesus, who took on what? The sins of mankind, who became the serpent for humanity. And in exchanging. Remember, the Lord was telling Moses this. And this was a bronze serpent that he had to make. Hello? And so when Moses lifted it up, so the Lord sent fire among them. Again, so when Moses made this out of bronze in verse 9, so Moses made a bronze serpent, right? And he put it on a pole. And if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he was what? He lived. He lived. In other words, he didn't die. He might have still been a little sick for a while. Amen. Could have been weeks. Who knows? But they lived. Now, bronze is a representation of strength. Strength. Jesus was strong. He was not a wimp. He was strong. Hello? Is everybody okay? Fiery serpent bit the people with venom, died in the bronze strength of the power of God Almighty. Again, no distance in time. It was all about Jesus. And John 3. John 3. Hallelujah. Do you remember when Moses... first of all, the fire, the burning bush, the fire of God, called Moses, right? Now, Moses had his staff. And he went up. Boom, boom, boom. He heard, Moses, here I am, whoever you are. And he went up there and he said, take your shoes off, you're stepping on holy ground. Well, there's something that happened with Moses and the staff. First of all, that staff was an accursed item because it came from where? Egypt. So God had to clean that staff out first before Moses could use it as an anointed staff. Does everybody get it? Because what happened when he threw the staff down with the Pharaoh's witches and so forth? They threw their staffs down. Moses threw his staff down. But Moses' staff ate theirs, their serpents. Amen? Why? Because you can't give what you don't have. If you're not free in something, you can't free someone else. Amen? Hallelujah. John 3, 5. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I have said this to you. You must be born again. The wind blows where the wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can this be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen. You do not receive our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Does everybody understand that? In other words, Moses was lifted up. Amen? Moses lifted up the serpent, I mean. Jesus was lifted up. Present day. So we have the present day, we have future events, and events of the past. There's no time in the spirit realm. God always looks at all of it as one. Isaiah 59, in verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not, what? Shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue has muttered perversity. No one calls for justice, nor does any plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch vipers' eggs and weave spiders' webs. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Their webs will not become garment, nor will they cover themselves with their work. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they have not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. These are individuals that carry serpents. Serpent people. Or what you call demons. Proverbs 23. Now there's nothing God can't do. He can't deliver. There isn't any person he can't deliver or heal. But again, that song we sing, Jesus Healer, the main thing was is the woman with the issue of blood sought after him. Got on her hands and knees and crawled to touch his garment. Went through the crowds. She pressed in all the way. See, so many people don't press in. They go, oh, Jesus, heal me. Well, why haven't you healed me? Because you ain't pressed in. You don't want it bad enough. Hello? Press in. Touch his hand. Fast. Do whatever you got to do. Amen? Show him that you meet him. Proverbs 23, verse 29. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites like a what? Serpent. So you might consider wine, booze, as venom. Everybody get it? Stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you'll be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, they have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I have not feel it. And when shall I wake that I may seek another drink? Ooh. Again, wine, venom, pharmakia, black magic, witchcraft, sorcery, addiction, all serpent venom. That's what it is. But see, it's spiritual serpent venom. Amen? Even though they put physical serpent venom in them. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. Hallelujah. This, I don't know if I mentioned the name of this title. Well, you can figure it out. Seed and the Serpent. You know, there was something before my visitation from the Lord, my deliverance and healing. When the Lord gave me a question, and he said, do you want to get off of drugs and alcohol, or do you want a new life? And I had to think about it because I knew what it meant. If I wanted a new life, I had to get rid of everything of the old life. And I said, I want a new life. And I was expecting something to happen. Nothing happened. You know what he said to me? Show me. Show me you want a new life. See, some people are saying they want something. They haven't shown God yet. Or they're doing it how they want to do it. And their convenience. So you got to step out of your time and get in God's time. Amen. Deuteronomy 32, verse 28. For they are a nation void of what? Counsel. How about revelation? How about truth? Nor is there any understanding in them, so they're void without understanding. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless their rock has sold them, and the Lord has surrounded them? For their rock is not like our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom, and their fields of what? Gomorrah. The grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of serpents, and their cruel venom of cobras. Wow. This is what the world is like. Amen? That's all in the world. Praise God. Go to Job 12. Job 12. And then one more scripture after. Job 12. Seed in the serpent. So what is seed? The DNA. We were all a bunch of mutts till Jesus came. Now our DNA is from heaven, no longer from the earth. It doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. It doesn't mean you won't sin. It doesn't mean you won't make mistakes. But thank God you don't have to go out and kill an animal. We just plead the blood of Jesus. He did it for us. Amen. Job 20:12. Though evil is sweet in his mouth, and he hides it under his tongue, though he spares it and does not forsake it, but still keeps it in his mouth, yet his food is in his stomach, turns what? Sour. And becomes cobra venom within him. Ooh. He swallows down riches and vomits them up again. God casts them out of his belly. He will suck the poison of cobras. The viper's tongue will slay him. He will not see the streams, the rivers flowing with honey and cream. He will restore that for which he labored. He will not swallow it down from the proceeds of business. He will get no enjoyment. He has oppressed and forsaken the poor. He has violently seized a house which he did not build. That sounds like New York City. Those poor people are losing their homes, taken over from illegal immigrants. Those with no spiritual understanding are being taken prey. They're becoming hosts of serpents and carriers of venom. And I'm going to close at Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 14. It says, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him afterward he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Now, those who believe and are baptized. Baptized in what? Fire. Does everybody get it? And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out what? Demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up what? Serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Recover. Amen? Now think about this. Remember when Paul was getting wood for the fire. Amen? And he laid it down, and a serpent bit him. But it didn't have no effect on him. Because he'd been cleaned. Jesus, when he was with his disciples, he said, the ruler of this earth is coming, but he's got nothing in me. Because he was clean. The Bible says when these spirits go from one person to another or from whatever, they're looking to get back in their own house, but the house is clean and swept, but wasn't filled with the Spirit. It's the fire of God, the fire of God, that will keep these serpents away. Amen? It will keep these serpents away. But you must be on fire for God. And this is what we're looking to be. We want to be on fire for God. We don't want to be lukewarm or compromising. When you worship the Lord, worship Him with all of your heart. Seek Him. Touch His heart. Let me tell you, when you touch His heart, He touches you. And when you get touched, bam. And you see, people are still looking for a feeling before they do anything. And the serpent, they discourage them so easy. Well, nothing happened to me. Well, you idiot, you don't even know. You can give God a break. Keep doing it. Look, a car doesn't get clean going through the car wash one time. Sometimes it's got to get clean two and three times. You press in. You worship. Till you drop. Just like some people shop till they drop. Show God you mean it. When you show Him you mean it, He means it. Unfortunately, there is no shortcut. Even though we'd like one. But there can be a shortcut. Just press in. Keep pressing, 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 pressing till you're pressed out. Amen? Everybody okay? Blessed. Praise God. Father, thank you for your word today and warning. And help us, Lord, to remove these serpents and any venom that's been placed in us or corruptible seeds, Lord. We just command right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the fire of God to loose and to leave us and go to the pit right now. In the name of Jesus. I pray for each and every one in this room, Father. Lord, search us through. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. So remove all the venoms that's been placed in us. Remove all the sicknesses associated with it. Open eyes, ears, and hearts to follow. And set us free from all addictions and attachments and affairs of this world. That we may be set free into your hands and into your heart. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.